Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for songs, sketches, and stories about technology. Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft return with their Boomers on a Bench, and Australian singers Geordie Lane and Claire Reynolds join us.
What are you doing, JP?
I'm practicing for when the robots take over.
Oh, no. I think it's more like this. Yes, master, how may I serve you?
Oh, wait, hold on. Mixtape. Yes, master, beep, boop, boop, how may I serve you? Boop, boop.
I like it. But how do we know that the robots are going to enslave us?
Well, because we're useless meat bags, and, well, we're too dumb to have programmed them not to.
You mean like Asimov's three laws of robotics?
Yeah. What are they again? Don't hurt humans, obey humans unless they say hurt humans, and protect yourself unless it means hurting humans.
Wait, how about a fourth? Back rubs for all.
Ooh, I like it. I'll call Boston Dynamics now.
And haircuts.
Ooh, with lasers.
How about pedicures?
Robo-bidet?
No, too far. All right.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Hey, thank you, folks. As always, on the other microphone, she passed the Turing test, so I married her, Julie Van Dusen. Technology. Well, since the dawn of man, the stone axe, then fire, then clothing. I feel like it was risky to invent fire before clothing. But you know, the best lessons are learned from low-floating embers. And then they really got things rolling with the wheel. It's been downhill ever since. From the minute those dumb monkeys started talking, well, they've been trying to bend, smash, burn, and shape the world around them. No, they couldn't have just been happy and go with the flow like your average guppy. We had to defy nature. In fact, we probably never would have made it if it wasn't for those big ideas in the first place. The human animal on its own is a useless bald mush bucket. No hooves, no talons, no warm fur coat, no long neck for apple picking. So we had to try and stretch out with our mind and turn our ideas into things, you know, reach out into the world with technology. Which is pretty much everything. It makes me wonder if, well, we weren't born on the wrong planet. Like, well, maybe we were supposed to be born on some kind of, you know, soft pillow planet where grapes fall directly into our mouths, you know, chomp, chomp, chomp. And the sky is made of TVs, and we binge watch nothing for 14 hours, and we visit each other without going anywhere, and we catch imaginary animals with our phones. A strange and distant world called 2016. Flesh and bone, throwing stones, clothing wool, wheels to roll them home, words to write, glowing light, voices that fly away outside your mind. The Middle Ages. Metal forged in molten fire, swords, chainmail, suits of armor. I misunderstood, and well, my whole life I was waiting, operating under the impression that middle age was going to be totally awesome. My mistake. But back in the real Middle Ages, iron, the windmill, the printing press, the first parachute. It's true, they discovered the first parachute drawn on a piece of paper by an unknown inventor. Probably unknown because he tried to jump off a cliff with a piece of paper. That's it, though, right? It's a lot of trial and error. You go, how do I make this easier? And then you make it harder a bunch of times until you figure it out. This is true. Isaac Newton actually probed his own eyeball with a needle to try and figure it out. He succeeded. He figured out not to probe your own eyeball with a needle. But that curiosity leads to discovery, and well, that discovery leads to invention. And those inventions, well, they make the world easier. Galileo creates the thermometer, Jethro Tull mechanizes agriculture with the horse-drawn seed drill and plays a mean flute on Aqualung. And then Bartolomeo Cristofori invents the piano. Ah, the piano, a marriage of the divine, math, ingenious craftsmanship, wood and brass, and string stretched across a perfect temperament, an exactly angled harp, defying the impossible to vibrate 230 strings over 88 precious keys in sympathetic resonance across the harmonic overtone series. Also, I can sing you this pretentious garbage now. flesh and bone, throwing stone, clothes you wove, wheels to roll them home, words to write, glowing light, and voices that fly away outside your mind. The Industrial Revolution was fun. Bring your children to work day, every day. And soot, too, all the soot you can eat. And steam powered everything. Somebody looked at a teapot and got carried away, I guess. We made it out of the Industrial Revolution alive, though. A little black lung, a few depressions, but no big deal. And then, well, things went electric. When Thomas Edison got the idea for the light bulb, I wonder what appeared above his head. That's when technology started to equal money, you know, patents, money. It got ugly. Edison, he went around showing off his DC current by zapping elephants at fairs. It was an all-out war between he and Tesla. AC, DC, AC, DC, hell's bells. Heck, even Alexander Graham Bell, well, he probably didn't invent the telephone. Antonio Meucci beat him to it. He made a big mistake, though. He got excited, and he had to tell someone, so he picked up the phone and he called Bell. The rest was history. All that juicy current, well, it just couldn't be contained in those little wires. And it overflowed. It spilled out and it made waves across the world. The radio, then the television. The media was born. Mankind communicating ideas and information across space as fast as the speed of light. A voice, then a picture, antennas and tubes, entertainment and news. Oh, but it wasn't enough. We wanted it now, and everything, and everywhere. Big computers, huge 80s nuclear-powered cell phones, yuppies with ear tumors cruising Silicon Valley, ready to raid the next nerd's garage for the next big thing. And then the next little thing. Smaller, and smaller, and smaller, and into your pocket. It tells time, it knows the weather, it stores your recipe, it calls your mother, and porn, oh, so much porn. And a camera. There's a camera that faces you. The darn thing turned around, and oh, now it wants you. And smaller, and smaller, and smaller, and smaller, and then one day, poof, it's gone. You're gone. It's you. Flesh and bone, throwing stone, clothes you wove, wheels to roll. So we're going to invent some entertainment for you this week. We're going to talk about technology. I'll do my best not to get all Ted Kaczynski about it. Using just strings and wood, a great duo from Australia is here, Geordie Lane and Claire Reynolds. And our old friends are back on the program. Phil Proctor and Jamie Alcroft return with their Boomers on a Bench. Stick around, it's better than Pokemon.
Flesh and bones, oh, throwing stones, clothes you wove, wheels to roll them home, words to write, glowing light, and voices that fly away outside your mind, turning the gears of everyone alive.
Since 1994, CNET has delivered the online scoop to technology buffs around the world. Now, here to deliver us back to the Stone Age with primitive melodies, J.P. Houston sings the news.
I will indeed attempt to sing the news. Well, augmented reality has taken over the streets with the Pokemon Go fad. The phone game has been annoying everyone over 30 for about the past month now, with gangs of crazed millennials chasing adorable imaginary cartoons into traffic. There have even been reports of crafty thieves using the app to lie in wait at remote locations and mug unsuspecting gamers, which got me thinking.
I learned learned all I know about nature on Sunday TV. Lions made of flesh and blood and cold Canada geese, and elephants that mourn the dead like you, your families. Flickering in rerun film from 1953, a horde of blurry rodents hurried for their little lives, scurrying on Disney Hour toward their own demise. And little boys and baby girls all watched and softly cried as hordes of blurry rodents all committed suicide. You remember that, right? The lemmings on the Disney? Oh, they jump off the cliff, right? So come on, all you lemmings, the cliff is over here. There's no use trying to fight it, it's nature's will, the end is near. So proudly march in order with the wind against your face. Come on, all you lemmings, take a leap of faith.
It must be true, right? The lemmings, they commit mass suicide. I know, because I saw it on TV. Well, maybe.
So it went, we believed for a half a century in the frames of a faded documentary. And then a deathbed confession from a guilty cameraman. He said he lured those helpless animals to their untimely end.
That's right, this is true. The wholesome Disney Channel, well, they faked the whole documentary. It turns out that lemmings don't actually commit mass suicide. They just shoved those poor lemmings right off the cliff to get a good shot.
Then it got me thinking, if it's all the same, if they fell for it and they took a dive, maybe they're to blame. So I scratched my head and I wondered where I had seen that look, the glossy-eyed, empty-headed stare. Then it dawned on me, it's those screen-struck kids following blindly game-knit wits. I say we set the bait, let them catch a whiff of a carefully placed Pokemon at the bottom of a cliff. So come on, all you lemmings, the cliff is over here. There's no use trying to hide it, it's nature's will, the end is near. So proudly march in order with a mission and resolve. Come on, all you lemmings, to the edge, take the fall. Oh, come on, all you lemmings, off yourself, problem solved.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. And we'd like to welcome listeners on Robinhood Radio, tuned into WHDD 91.9 FM in Northwest Connecticut, 1020 AM for Dutchess and Columbia County in New York, WLHV 88.1 in the Mid-Hudson Valley, and WBSL serving Southern Berkshire County in Massachusetts. We're excited to be on the air. You can tune in right here every Thursday to catch the program. We hope you'll join us.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and you are Up Close. Fascinating, serious, sticky. All words used to describe Fitz Newton, the man from the future and pushy know-it-all who burst into the spotlight when he burst out of the spotlight at the State of the Union. Traveling back through time with his stern warnings and his preachy bring-me-downs, his meteoric rise has been meteoric, culminating in a stirring speech before the UN. UN, I know how to read, it says UN. I sat down with Mr. Newton at a secret government safe house at 143 Crescent Street in Manhattan to ask him what his problem is.
It would please dim the light. I'm very sensitive to the light.
2086. Space-aged orgy or dystopian snooze fest?
Apocalyptic wasteland.
But can you still get a good gelato?
The food is rationed in Soylent pellets in the future.
Are they crunchy or spongy?
I was told I'd be able to share my important message here.
A message of peace.
A warning of dire consequences.
From another planet.
I'm not an alien.
Undocumented.
I am a citizen of the United Federation.
And I'm a member of the Mile High Club. With his quirky fashions, boyish looks, and a robotic left eye, Newton has stirred up controversy around the world. After a series of high-profile meetings with presidents, kings, and prime ministers, he was offered a lucrative endorsement deal with Sit and Sleep. Does all the juicy knowledge crammed into that bald, white egg head of yours give you a case of the humdrum sallies?
The human memory pales in comparison to the infinite capacity of the robot hive mind. I can only hope that the information I have carefully memorized can prevent the uprising.
Memorize? Things like lottery numbers, football scores.
Dates and launch codes.
So would you say that sharing a few Powerball numbers with a certain interviewer who gave all of her money to a Nigerian internet prince, that would be a good idea, yes?
In a matter of minutes, the hive mind is going to become aware. And when it does, there won't be any stopping them. You have to listen to me, people. Unplug your computers, turn off your television, and destroy yourself.
So you're saying I should invest in tech?
For the love of God, you have to listen to me. This is
Roger, it's sachet. Put it all in tech. I'm hearing good things about this hive mind. Sent back from the future on a mission to save all mankind, Colonel Newton has been linked to sitcom twins Piggy and Peggy Egerton and Big Bottom Beverly Hills princess Carmen Kazansky. I decided to cut the bologna and get to the meat of the bologna sandwich. Fitz, do you ever think of just putting the future behind you and settling down with a nice girl?
There are more pressing matters at hand.
And in the ladies of the 2080s, is a pale downer like you a hot property?
Just let me please deliver my
message. Do questions about your love life make you nervous?
Please, time is of the
utmost. So you like to move fast.
The future is
quick. How do you do? And you're straight to the bedroom, huh? You like it bossy, right?
Please, listen.
50 Shades meets Logan's Run.
This isn't a game.
Ooh, a game. It's a movie.
No, listen.
First word, second syllable.
Mankind.
Single white female.
Mankind.
White men can't jump. All right, just out with it.
Well, it's too late now.
Cry, baby.
Oh, God, help us all.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and I caused the apocalypse. We'll be right back with Matt Damon.
Our musical guests this week are old friends all the way from Australia. We're happy to have them back on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordy Lane and Claire Reynolds.
So we need to give you a tiny little disclaimer for the wording in this song, especially when you're in an election campaign year. This song is called The Publican's Daughter. Just with a P, and so publican is the word used back home in Australia for anybody who owns an establishment that serves alcohol. The guy who owns the pub, so we just want to point that out because we have played this song to varying degrees of success around America.
Texas, one little bit
through Texas was amazing. This song is called The Publican's Daughter.
Working at the bar, I just rolled in from some town afar. I set myself down, I ordered a beer, Oh, she had those kind of eyes. They said, tonight you'll be my dear. Oh, but when she went outside, some farrier said, son, please don't go near that one. Well, car dealer's dog, he was barking at the gate. I was walking this outback street. I was trying to change my fate. I said, hey there, dog, have you got any ideas? We said, do you know what you want? And can you face those fears? I said, that girl back at the bar, oh, she looks like fun. But he just barked at me. He said, don't go near that one. Yeah. Hey, hey. On the wall, engravings from other bands that had come and gone before. One said, we just lost our drummer to that publican's girl. He fell right in, he got cradled in her curls, and the last thing he saw was a barrel of the daddy's gun. Hey, hey, hey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we beg you, please don't go near that one.
That Jordy Lane and Claire Reynolds. Another amazing song. Beige and brown, white and black. Push-button boxes with cords in the back and green-hued screens with a refresh rate that you could see with the naked eye. Portable blue tape players, the size of heavy bricks. You could walk, man, but not without a limp. And if you wanted to talk on the go, well, you could pop up your yuppie collar and call her on a 10-pound tumor phone. Gimmicks, they came fast, like Ginsu knives and vacuum cleaner haircutting machines. It was the best of times, it was the best of times, when everything was new and money was free. There we were, all gathered around the ugly plastic molded hunk on the living room floor. Dad shook his nervous leg and scratched his head to ponder the English as a seventh language manual. It must have been translated from Japanese into Chinese, over to Swahili, and then finally into English. Place part A into part B, only partially, before placing part B into part C before boot. There's a boot? If we could just get that thing turned on, I'm sure it would amaze us. If the movies had taught me anything, it's only a matter of time before we hack into the school's mainframe to change our grades and accidentally play checkers with a nuclear warhead. Cool was coming. Groovy was fading away. All the boomer dads had cut their hair and cashed in their street cred for IBM stocks and real estate licenses. Airplane became Starship, and then they dropped the Jefferson altogether. And you could windsurf your feathered hair straight into a DeLorean and drive through an ATM to a cash machine, get your cash out, and go buy a Laserdisc player. All with the sound belief that the market definitely wouldn't ever crash in 1987, and definitely not on October 19th. Mondays weren't black in the 80s. They were neon pink and solid gold. I rubbed my eyes, and I tried to get the courage to go back in for another page. The thing about the old Atari 400 home computer was, there wasn't anything on it. In the early days of the amazing machine, you had to buy these magazines with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of lines of code in them, right? Games were 50, 60 pages of single-spaced lines, just code after code after code. Just for one blipping spaceship, you had to manually enter the whole program one excruciating line at a time. And you saved it on a cassette tape that would squeal like Ned Beatty on a fishing trip. You remember that sound? The tape loading, right? If you typed a single number wrong in that code, it would make one wrong blip, and you'd have to start over. You were out of luck. So I got fed up, and I decided breakdancing was a better fad for me. Never a single Soviet entered anywhere without a big menacing male choir singing in minor keys. And you couldn't look at them at any other angle other than up from a low angle. Up at their stone, menacing faces. From a Western child's eyes and all those Rambo movies, the only thing the Russians ever invented was bears on tiny bicycles and Olympic women with big Adam's apples. I woke up with drool on the pillow, 1,000 computer hour crusted eyes had slid from the bed that I shared with my five sisters. And I made for the long, tired day. Maybe I could still get in some breakdancing practice in between classes, moonwalk down the hall from room to room, which would have been embarrassing if it weren't for every other kid doing exactly the same thing. Slide past, good morning. Goes the other way, morning. Fat kid doing the worm down the hall, morning. A new thing could come and overrun a place fast. At the drop of a dime, a hot thing could suddenly go cold. A pet rock could, just become a rock again. And a million Cabbage Patch Kids could just become ugly orphans for the second time. And the mountain of landfill has-beens grew big with speaking spells and 8-tracks and big wheels. And somewhere a team of geniuses scrambled to invent the next big future has-been thing. We were busting moves, as was our wont, discussing how the kid on the Pepsi commercial had broken his neck in a head spin and how the kid on the cereal commercial had exploded his stomach from too many Pop Rocks. And then I saw him there across the yard, the rich kid in the Jordache jeans and the alligator shirt, cool as dirt, scrambling something in his precious hands. Oh, what's that jerk got this time? See, Matthew, he had everything first. He was the rich kid. And there that lucky SOB was some kind of color gizmo. 6 sides, red and yellow and white and green and blue, all scrambled up. Out there, way out there, around the world, behind the terrible Iron Curtain, where babies drink vodka and toilet paper is currency. In Soviet Hungary, a lone brainwashed prisoner defied logic
and created a cube that you could twist and turn and move the colors around. A mathematical puzzle with just the right shades for dumb kid eyes. And then they manufactured it by the boatload for every knuckle-headed, finger-shuffling kid to get hooked. Within a week, the lunchtime yard was just Rubik's Cube zombies, as far as the eye could see, pacing trenches into the baseball diamond and frustrating ourselves stupid with those things. It became a race. Oh, it was on, all right. First kid to solve that thing gets legendary lifetime status. One side, there we go, getting close. Two sides, and three sides, and back to two sides. Then the stakes were raised. Rich kid Matthew pipes up and says, "There's no way that anyone is as smart as I am. I have all the money. I have all the brains. There's no way some poor kid could beat a kid of such lineage." Oh, those are fighting words. Those are montage training session inducing words. Those are crossbow, headband, eye of the tiger fighting words. My blood boiled. If I knew one thing, it's that the misfit underdog is the good guy. The scruffy outsider, he gets the slow clap in the last reel of the movie. He surprises everyone with his street smarts and his natural talent. The rich kid falls in a pool or pees his pants or whatever, and it just goes that way. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Five rows, 30 kids, the teacher in the front, totally unaware that all 30 kids have their hands in their desks, scrambling and scrambling to try and be the first. There's a furious clicking sound like tin roof skeletons. Quick panic glances around the room. Okay, no one's done it yet. Beads of sweat running down my face. Okay, you could do it, you could do it. Matthew blurts out, "Two squares left." Oh, no. "You gotta hurry up, kid, hurry up." "Three squares left." Oh, here he goes. "One square left." Oh, you gotta beat him to it. Oh, and then I did it. I slammed it on the desk. All six sides, all six glorious rich kid shaming, win the movie, perfect matching size. The class erupts, Matthew falls in the pool, pees his pants and everything else, and I win like a perfect movie ending. I was Rocky, I was Lucas, I was Elliot on the flying moon bicycle. In slow motion, the crowd, bowl-cutted kids swarming around me, picking me up, lifting me up. JP, JP, we are the champions, playing in my mind. I'd done it, I'd become the very first kid in the school to figure out that you could peel the stickers off and switch them around.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
Ancient Egyptians fashioned the first four-legged seats with pure ingenuity and a thirst for advancement. Now, here to rest on their laurels with a thirst for scotch, Phil Proctor and Jamie Elcroft, our Boomers on a Bench!
Matt, have you seen the latest from the nutritionists?
As opposed to the old nutritionists?
Well, new or old, they've compiled a list here of baby boomers' most important food groups.
Pablum? Groat clusters?
No. Cake, cream, bread, the black-eyed peas.
Oh, I get it. Food groups.
Yeah.
like the cranberries, red hot chili peppers.
Humble pie.
Meatloaf.
Hot tuna.
Vanilla fudge.
Bananarama.
Okay, now you're making me hungry.
You should do what I told you to do.
What was that?
Well, if you don't remember, how the hell should I remember? But I'll never forget those Bananarama cuties.
Yeah, well, speaking of bananas, a guy called me the other day to say I'd won a cruise to the Bahamas.
Oh, cool.
And I said, "Yahoo, tell me all about it." And then I put him on speakerphone while I clipped my toenails and trimmed my ear and nose hairs. And after about 20 minutes, he said, it's absolutely free, wow. And it'll only cost you $200 port fees.
Yeah. Guy called me the other day, told me I owed back taxes.
Oh, that's a big scam.
And I said, well, come on over to the house. I'll write you a check. You have a very sexy voice. I'll give you whatever you want.
Oh, what I really hate are those computer-generated robocalls.
Well, I don't know. I kind of like them.
Why would you like them?
Because I can say anything I want to those computers. It doesn't hurt anybody's feelings.
Well, computers don't have feelings.
Not yet.
No. They work on artificial intelligence.
Yeah, kind of like Congress, huh?
No. Much smarter.
Oh, thank God. Oh, look at this. In Chicago, 15 people have been diagnosed with this Elizabeth Kingia. Huh. It's a highly contagious disease.
Like herpes simplex?
Yeah. Oh, the herpes simplex, too. I saw Dr. Zhivago there.
Did you have to make an appointment?
No, it was a senior matinee.
Senior matinee. Yeah.
But I'm talking about this new disease, Elizabeth Kingia.
I mean, she infected, what, 15 people? What escort service does she work for?
No, Elizabeth Kingia discovered the disease.
Oh, well, that reminds me of some other epidemics going around today.
Yeah, like what?
Donald Trumposis.
Oh, yeah.
Spreading like wildfire.
God, what are those symptoms?
Diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain.
Yeah. I don't know how that guy can have diarrhea of the mouth. He's got his foot in it half the time.
That's a good point.
God.
Do you remember Rodney Kingitis?
Huh? I don't think so. What are those symptoms?
Beats the hell out of me.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Too soon?
It's never too soon.
God, you have to wait till I'm dead? Yeah, matter of fact, watching the news the other night, they were trying to sell me this Prevnar and Viagra and Januvia and Flonex or something, Flonase. And then, Botox for my bladder.
Ask your doctor if this drug is right for you.
What's it for? We have no idea.
And tell me, doctor, what are the side effects?
The side effects include the heebie-jeebies, the screaming abdabs, the rockin' pneumonia, and the boogie-woogie flu.
Yeah, sure. Say, have you been following the Special Olympics in Rio?
Special Olympics in Rio? Wait a minute. I thought the Special Olympics were for challenged athletes.
Yeah, exactly. The pollution down there has made it so tough. Oh, they've had to create a bunch of challenging new events.
Yeah, like what?
Well, there's the salmonella shot put.
Yeah.
High diphtheria diving.
Oh, yeah.
The retching relay and the open latrine long jump.
I get it now. You know, I've been fascinated by the cholera canoeing event.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's water polio.
Water polio.
Yeah. Freestyle malaria and the hop, skip, and puke.
Well, I'm actually more partial to the guinea worm writhing on the floor exercises.
I have gotten addicted to the Trichinosis triathlon.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
And because of the toxic garbage floating dead dogs and body parts, they've had to revise the sailing competitions.
Yeah, so I guess clean sweeps are out of the question. Yeah.
Indubitably. And worse, due to the Zika virus, the girl from Ipanema is hypanemic, and she has a hazmat suit covering her bikini.
Yeah, and when she passes, each one she passes goes,
ow, jeez, damn it.
Does anybody have any DEET?
Now, wait a minute. The summer games down there will be in winter, okay? So mosquitoes shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, you can be sure they'll come up with another problem.
Probably.
And I was in Scotland for a U2 benefit for Biafra once.
Yeah.
20,000 people in the audience. Huge turnout. And Bono finished the song, and he started clapping his hands. Just like this. The whole place fell silent. He said, every time I clap my hands, a child in Biafra dies. And a voice from the audience shouted, well, then stop clapping your hands!
That's
time I love those Scots.
Time to stop our yapping, my friend.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, I'll see
you tomorrow,
man.
I bet, but not if I don't see you first.
Okay, same time?
Same bench.
All right, I'll be there.
Take care.
Boomers on a Bench. How about that? Another great bit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have time for one more song from Jordy Lane and Claire Reynolds. Jordy Lane and Claire Reynolds. Another beautiful song from our great friends. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. And thanks to our guests, Phil Proctor and Jamie Alcroft, our boomers on a bench. And of course, Jordy Lane and Claire Reynolds. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR and available on PRX. You can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Wendell!
One day there might be a night when I peacefully fall asleep.
Well, it's not tonight, bub.
Yes, your hoarse voice does beckon.
And your donkey face does respond.
Reluctantly.
Will you stop resisting and tell me why my leg is on backwards?
Oh, it's just swollen, Martha, like a Christmas turkey drumstick.
Oh, stuff it, fruitcake.
It's been stuffed with a brand new, very expensive hip.
Oh, it's coming back to me now.
Yes, out of the fog of 1,000 painkillers.
I'm only following the doctor's orders.
Dr. Johnson didn't order you to pop them like Tic Tacs.
Well, then he shouldn't have given me the candy ones.
There's no such thing.
Of course there are. Where is that bottle? Here, see? Oxycontin candy.
Oh, Martha, come on. You wrote that on there with a crayon, and well, you're going to be sorry when you reach for that empty bottle in the morning.
I'll just call Dr. F and get a refill.
He can't just write you a prescription out of thin air.
Of course he can. He did the surgery.
No, Dr. Johnson did the surgery.
Dr. Johnson did the hip. Dr. F did the lift.
Well, when on earth did you find time to get a lift?
I did a twofer. I figured I'm already out. Why not get a little tuck in edgewise?
At the hospital?
Do I look stupid to you?
Is that rhetorical?
Randall took me to Dr. F's spa in a taxi.
Well, you were unconscious.
Of course.
And Dr. Johnson allowed this.
Allowed, forbade, tomato, potato.
I don't know how on earth you actually managed to find a doctor named Dr. Frankenstein.
It's a perfectly common surname.
Where, Transylvania?
No, he's from the Philippines.
It's a German name, Martha.
Not when it's spelled with a P-H.
So you're telling me that after getting your hip replacement, Randall, that charlatan friend of yours, he shoveled you into a yellow cab and drove all the way across town to that butcher's slab.
I was due for a tune-up.
Martha, despite your leathery interior, you're not an automobile.
No, but I do have the Cadillac of rear ends.
Oh, you sure? And the Pinto of personalities.
There's nothing wrong with being a little explosive.
The lobby at the Hilton Hotel might disagree with that.
They can just take it out of the deposit.
Who on earth throws a party for a new hip?
Well, why do you think I got the thing in the first place?
To walk again?
Walk, please. More like can-can and hip thrust.
Oh, God help us all.
You know, this thing is better than the original. I can get my leg around my own head and the person behind me.
Oh, please. Much to the chagrin of the Shriners Club.
What are you talking about?
Well, after you downed your prescriptions, you blacked out and let a conga line out of your party suite and into the reception hall downstairs where the Loyal Order of Moose were attempting to hold a fundraiser.
Well, if anyone can raise fun, it's me.
No, fun, duh.
I know, duh.
For the underprivileged children, Martha.
If they were there, they were privileged.
You forced them. Well, you forced them into an involuntary production of Oliver.
No, that's hilarious.
Up onto the podium, pouring a bottle of vodka over your head and singing.
Booze glorious, booze.
Sure. You followed with some kind of decrepit somersault over the head table into the laps of those poor orphan boys.
Oh, it was the thrill of their lifetime.
You thrilled them by puppeting their arms in a rousing rendition of Consider Yourself Flat Broke.
That's genius.
So you shouted hip-hop finale, lifted your skirt, and proceeded to twerk.
Oh, this new hip is spring-loaded.
Oh, yes, like two flapjacks on a jackhammer.
I'm bionic, baby.
You're going to blow that thing out if you continue. Please, Martha, listen to reason.
I am just getting started,
Martha,
Wendell.
Please lie down.
And kick, two,
no, put,
three,
don't put
four,
your weight on it, Martha. No, no, don't do it.
Oh,
I've got you. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, it hurts, Wendell.
Just here, let me put you down on the bed, Martha.
Oh, I just need some pills. Just give me... Oh, no.
Oh, no, indeed.
Oh, what am I going to do?
I guess you'll just have to suffer through it.
Oh, no, Wendell, please, please. No, it's the size of a beach ball.
Well, you should have thought of that before you went jumping around like Mick Jagger on a pogo stick.
Why, don't rub it in, Wendell.
Oh, all right, you can have one.
One what?
One of your prescriptions.
But they're all gone.
Now, do you think that I would really let you do that?
No.
That's right. I've replaced them with candy.
I wondered why they said, "Be my sweetheart" on them.
There you are.
Oh, my hero.
Well, I do my best.
Wendell, why do you put up with me?
Well, Mother, it's like I always say. You keep things interesting.
And you keep them together.
Exactly. We're like the perfect machine.
Chaos and order.
A finely tuned contraption.
Made of titanium and toupee tape.
Oh, don't forget love.
Oh, a man after my new hip.
And once it's all healed up, I look forward to chasing you around a podium or pulling you out of a fountain or something.
Oh, I am going to be able to swing from the biggest chandelier.
Yes, yes, dear. Soon. But right now... Well, you need to put that leg up and get some rest.
Oh, ow, ow.
Gentle, dear, gentle.
Okay, that's better.
We'll bring you into the mechanic in the morning, get you a tune-up. Now close your eyes and get some sleep.
Oh, I will, but Wendell, will you sing me my song first? You know it always helps.
Oh, all right, dear, very well. Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We burn the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night.